Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. It might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip inside his head, mind, and soul, and listen to this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, dear friends, to Dog Poet Transmitting in the Saucer Pod. Greetings from the Arcturian Brotherhood and the Sirius Cluster. Greetings to all hearts and minds that labor in the darkness within the plague of political correctness and rampant worldwide corruption in all the fields as lies have become the currency of our time, where truth is an outcast on the unmapped road of night. We're cruising in the saucer pod tonight over the main gate of the pit this evening. We watched Eli the Weasel descend down the steps earlier. There was a big neon sign flickering at the entry that said, "Welcome, Eli." There are other neon signs flashing with messages for the pending arrival of David Rockefeller, George Soros, various Rothschilds and Schiffs, and assorted servants of the darkness. It is not known if any of them have seen their personalized signs yet, but we know the time will come when they will. I take no joy in commenting on this. I'm just recognizing that we all have our rewards for efforts made and not made by each and every one during their tenure here. Eli the Weasel was one of the monumental frauds of the last century, which is neither remarkable nor surprising, because he was also the cartoon face of an even greater fraud. He was a Holocaust affirmer for the Holocaust fantasy industry, which bears no resemblance to anything that happened, and which I believe was fabricated by a satanic cabal of Ashkenazis for a variety of reasons, none of them more compelling than an obfuscation of and as a defense against the truth of what they did in the Soviet Union in the same time period, although over a much longer stretch, where they slaughtered tens of millions of Russians and others. Prior to this, and as a part of a plot against humanity, the originator of Zionism, Theodor Herzl, came up with the term anti-Semitism. This was an ingenious reverse slander weapon against the human race, based on a transparent lie because those who created it are not Semitic. However, the Palestinians are. It continues as an attempt to delegitimize the real original inhabitants of the Holy Land and replace them with these invaders from other locales who have no genetic contact whatsoever to this piece of contentious real estate, where no one in their right mind would choose to live, and actually no one in their right mind does. The sad news is, of those confined there who have been kept imprisoned and impoverished so that they cannot leave. We apologize once again for having missed, yet again, another radio broadcast last week. It seems that we've had to apologize more often than we might have wished for this recent inconsistency on our part. Life has changed, And that means we are not always permitted to do what we might prefer or are responsible for, because conditions make it difficult for us to perform our duties. It is not so much a matter of oppositions that cannot be overcome, as it is simply that that is how it worked out, or more correctly, did not work out. The good news is that we are here today. Well, I don't know if that's good news, but it's news of some kind. One thing we can all agree on, should we be paying attention to that effect, is that this is a world in turmoil on a global scale. Where it is not turmoil precisely, it is certainly reflective of dramatic change. In the meantime, there is a disturbing trend of people losing their minds and acting out in violent and unpredictable ways. Mothers are killing their children. Sexual madness is manifesting in wide-ranging and personal ways. The worst of us are the powers in the political theaters, and the drumbeats of wider war can be heard around the world. Cynical bankers and corporate demons are fomenting conflicts and large disasters for the purpose of venal profit. These are some of the things that can be seen in the world around us, but these are not all that is happening. As we like to point out, at every turn in these parts, we are in an apocalypse. And what we find most important about this is how the meaning of apocalypse has been altered in the public mind in order to milk the fear of it. Apocalypse means revelation, uncovering, and revealing. That's it. How what is revealed and uncovered impacts upon you determines your level of fear and confusion. If you are in fear of the truth, then fear will color your perceptions. What is, regardless of one's perception of it. However, one's perception of it determines one's relationship to it. It's like body surfing in high surf. You can catch the wave and ride the force, power, and symmetry of it right up onto the shore, or you can misjudge the wave, find yourself frozen by indecision, and be slammed to the sand by the wave. It's the same wave on both accounts. It is only the relationship that vary. It makes sense to ride the wave. Does to me, in any case. The same understandings can be applied to many varieties of experience. Every day there are people in the towns and cities of this world who are living and dying, celebrating and mourning, gaining and losing. Our personal karma determines the conditions that come and go. Our method of response determines how we handle and react to the conditions. One might say that is karma as well. The mysteries of karma are profound and remain unknown to all but the masters of the art of life. It seems to me that the wisest course is to develop a relationship with one of these masters. And it is good to remember that all of these masters host the same force and serve the same greater master. I do not know if the Avatar is here in physical form as of yet, but I do know that the Avatar is here on some plane that interplays with the manifest plane. I do not know the name or the medium that the Avatar will appear under, but I have my own self-convinced theories of what I believe will come to pass. Because there is such a large number of people resident here, I believe the Avatar will come simultaneously in the form of some amount of us in locations all around the world, and that these avataric expressions will be tailored to the needs of the places they appear in. I believe the Avatar is coming in the hearts of humanity where it is welcome to arrive. It will bypass those hearts that are closed to the presence. It may in some cases override the resistance of certain souls because of the outworking of yet another of the mysteries of karma. Well, a good example of this is the tale of Saul of Tarsus being struck down on the road to Damascus. One thing every living soul must come to terms with is that the will of the Supreme is inviolate and irresistible. Or you can oppose it as you wish. Won't do any good. The illusion of success and progress against the will of the ineffable can appear to occur, but it is a temporary thing. And whatever the final result of it may be, it will also be an expression of the will of the ineffable. It is as if every road we are on must inevitably bend around and through all of its convolutions back toward the light of the ineffable. All we can do is to retard or cooperate in that which is destined for us. We can increase the level of our suffering through our opposition, but no matter what, we will never prove strong enough to triumph against the eternal controller of all things. This is the lesson that life teaches us as it wears us down and teaches us the futility of our resistance and the terrible vanity of all of our adulation for our false selves as they war and compete against all the other false selves in this mindless conflict of appetites in the confines of this dream world of delusion. Ah, for what a time so many of us continue to sleep. It can go on for seemingly countless lifetimes as souls come and go in the search for varied forms of experience, or sometimes repeating over and over the demand for the exercise of a single appetite. This is the nature of demons who are singularly devoted to a single form of expression. You see the results of this in mental institutions and various ghettos of being where particular dramas act out again and again. Those who think there is no justice in this world are those who are misinformed about how the process works itself out. One should remain in fear and awe of displeasing the will of the one who rules all things from the unshakable authority of its impenetrable self. Time is an illusion, as are a great many enduring constructs that compose the infrastructure of the material plane. The reality of what is far beyond the capacity of human reason and logic. And this is why one must abandon both of these at a certain point. For me, the greatest achievement is to be swallowed up in divine love and to exist in that state which remains forever beyond the capacity of words to define and beyond the capacity of thought to envision or comprehend. I have studied the matter of essential priorities. What is the most valuable possession one can own? There are arguments for many selections. Integrity is a wonderful thing. So are honor and fealty, as well as wisdom and understanding. Of course, there are objects of the physical world, but they come and go and can't be depended on for any value in respect of one's transport to other planes of being. As much as I admire the individual qualities already named and others that have not been named, my personal attraction is for the possession of all of the qualities of God, those mentioned and unmentioned. I think there are two items that are of the greatest importance in this world, in my opinion, and any world that can exist or has yet to exist, and they are, firstly, the presence of the ineffable. And as a secondary extension of this, the qualities of God. I believe, should one have the capacity or supreme good fortune to come into the possession of these, one would lack for nothing ever again. This is what I have come to learn to this point. So this is chief among my own personal objectives. If that changes, it can only be the result of a greater awareness of the same. At least that is what I believe at the moment, always remembering that I don't know and I don't. It has been quite a struggle for myself and others from our point of entry to this present moment. Sometimes it seems like it will never end. One inexplicable challenge follows on the heels of the next, the one before, and where is that state of ease that lies as an inviolable stillness in the center of the cloud of unknowing? It's there. We are assured of this, but finding our way through the labyrinth has proven to be near impossible. Obviously, one needs a guide. Less than obviously, one has a guide. And the proof of that comes through the ever-thinning veils of experience. It is the love for and the love of the divine that burns away these veils as the soul comes ever closer to the spirit and that timeless and magical union that awaits all who aspire to that end. I cannot put my attention upon the carnage of this world. I do not understand it well enough for me to allow its space in my thoughts. I tell myself that the ineffable has all the answers, and I will be informed when and in whatever manner the divine wishes for it to take place. At some point, faith becomes the engine that drives awareness and understanding. At some point, one comprehends that it's all under control, and one submits utterly to this, and that control is expressed within the capacity to surf that wave and evade being smashed by it. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of yet another broadcast. And we'll see you next week, if there is one, and if some sort of a trend of continuity is possible for us. In betwixt then and now, we pray that all might come a little closer to the source of all things, and that the locus of that source within might begin to resonate its beauty, wonder, and love throughout our forms, be they subtle or be they gross. And we further pray that all our bodies might be filled and illuminated with the wondrous light of the ineffable. That said, Hare Krishna, Om Amitabha, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Much love, Lady Nature. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesha. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru. Happy Fourth, my friends.
Long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. No one stays anonymous when they get you in his eyes. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. Up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.